Washington and to Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. The print of the tomb of the unknown soldier. Now you watch the soldiers there. Tall, thin and in shape. They march 21 steps in front of the tomb. The rifle here. At the conclusion of the 21 steps, they turn and face the tomb. And for 21 seconds, they reflect on the sacrifice. They turn again and put their rifle to the side so it's away from the tomb, yet protecting it, and do 21 more steps. It is a high honor to be chosen to be part of the honor guard. To be on that, you generally have to have a superior record of service. There can be no civilian or military charges have been brought against you. You have to have scored among the highest on the endurance or athletic tests that they use. And they serve much like a fireman in terms of they have shifts that serve around the clock. And they do this because of the honor that it represents. It's considered such an honor that if they have served at least 9 months, that they receive a special badge that they can wear on their uniform for the rest of their service, with one exception. If they ever bring shame on the tomb that they guard, or otherwise fail in their duty, they are stripped of the badge and the honor that goes with it. Son's good friend was one of the sergeant of the guard for it, and he would tell me of the incredible effort they would do to make sure their uniform was perfect, that the badges and the medals and whatever they had was precise. The brass shined, the shoes shined, the back was straight. And they sought this because as people who served, they realized the value of those who served and honor them. And not just an unknown soldier, but in their hearts, all the soldiers that had served faithfully with honor for their country. It is a high honor. Remembering, as we go to the scripture, is an integral part of the Old and New Testament. Much of the New Testament is remembering what occurred in the Old so that it fills the meaning to the New Testament. The scripture, it speaks of God's remembering. And it's so tied to God's mercy. God remembers the covenant and promises made with his people, even when they don't. So it's not uncommon that it will say in some form or another that God remembered his covenant restoring God with the remembering of the ways of God, of the covenant of God, and they seek the covenant of God. In the Old Testament, there were signs that they used. In Hebrew, the word zikaron. And Joshua had the 12 stones of remembering. And those stones were honored, and the people were encouraged to remember the God of their lives. The priests wore breastplates with symbols on it that caused people to remember. If you were to go to a Jewish funeral, or particularly at the cemetery, it is not uncommon that you will see stones placed on the grave. They serve several functions. One of them is a marking stone. It goes back to before there were like cemetery stones. It marked that the person was there. It marked that the people who were there remembered and left a stone of remembrance. And so too with Lieutenant Tom Gentine in the cemetery in Beverly Hills, Michigan. There's no doubt a stone or a symbol of remembrance. I am particularly touched by his sacrifice because at that time I was preparing to go to Vietnam, and then there was a crisis in Czechoslovakia, and I was redeployed. Or I would have been in Vietnam at the very same time, most probably somewhere else, but who would know? And it makes me mindful of the sacrifice of others. When we speak of the sacrifice of others, of remembering, one can remember and honor people who served their country and their God, even if one disagrees with the reasons they did it for war. It's more about the commitment we make and the lives that we live that make us worthy of honor, and whether or not the war was won or whatever. The high priest once said of Jesus, not too far before Jesus would be crucified, he announced to the Pharisees and the many, "Do you not realize that it is better for you that one man might die for the people than the whole nation perish?" Another way of saying it, he'd said it was expedient for someone to die. We live in a world where expediency creates dynamics that sometimes do not value people. But God values his people. God remembers his people. God remembers their faithfulness. And God goes beyond their faithfulness because God is faithful. In the passage in Romans 5, Martin Luther said, "In the whole Bible, there is hardly another chapter which can equal this triumphant text. You heard the words, 'Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have gained access by faith into his grace, we now stand.'" God reaching us and bringing us to grace is far grander than it's even bringing us to glory. Because it's the love of God, the grace of God that prepares us for the other. There is an interesting portion here
accepting a rabbinic value, a hierarchy of the Talmud, you could say, that's reflected in Romans 5. You see, at just the right time, when we are powerless, God, Christ died for the ungodly. And here comes the hierarchy. Yet scarcely or rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. That's the first part of the hierarchy, a righteous person. The term righteous there is not someone forgiven by God and righteous by the grace of God. The term righteous there speaks of a person who's covering his bases. That person does whatever they need to be deemed righteous. It's sort of like PR, public relations righteous. I check off the minimums. And the passage says, scarcely would someone die for someone who just covers the minimums. A person who simply lives to cover the minimum of the law. In the second hierarchy of persons, though a good person, someone might possibly dare to die for. A good person, defined in the Greek word and in the period of the time, a good person is someone who moves beyond what they had to do. You get that? It's the person that goes the extra mile. It's the person that cares about the people around him. The person who cares about the needy, about those hurting, that cares about the people around him. A good person is like that. You know, I was reading some of the comments that were sent in on the internet about Tom, Lieutenant Gentine. As I was reading, there were 70 soldiers from Dearborn lost in the war. And then I was reading what a fellow, Bill Wiles, wrote under Tom, a great platoon leader. We served together. I will never forget when Tom, I remember when he came into our company and was assigned as our platoon leader. He had a great smile and was a very nice man. Tom was smart and he cared deeply for the safety of his men and their well-being. A good man goes beyond just having to order men around. A good man cares about them. I remember May 12th, like it was yesterday, how we felt when we lost them. Tom, I want you to know that I will never forget you, Tom. I think of you every day. Thank you for your friendship, and may God bless you. A good man cares about those around him. I also read of his nephew, Tom. I never had a chance to meet you, but was named in remembrance. My dad and her brother. It goes on to say how much she cares and shows it, and always says how brave you were. Thank you for serving your country and watching over us. A good man cares for his people, and he watches over them and does what is necessary. And as we looked at the hierarchy, there was the righteous person who was good on the minimums. There was the good man who lived mercy and exceeded the law. It goes on to say in the verse, but God demonstrated us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It, in the word demonstrate, it means to stand alongside. It means not to leave you alone. A good man stands alongside of the soldiers that he serves with, and we've heard of that. But a good man does not leave us alone even when we fail, and our good God goes beyond that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that probably is the next hierarchy. We have the righteous man, the good man, and the person who would die for someone else. Not that that's what they want to do, but one does not control what happens in the flurry of battle. And a good man cares enough to put himself on the line. By the way, the next hierarchy is us, the ones Christ died for. And Christ died for the minimum people of righteous, for the good ones, the caring ones, for the extra good ones who dare to potentially sacrifice their life for another. I think those kind of people realize the sacrifice and love of God. God came to bring us peace. Now, since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? I started out by saying how this brings peace, and a good man is willing to fight for the peace that he hopes for. I am sure he didn't go for a chance to do war, but because he had a hope to bring peace. And I know that's what Christ did. And so we must be committed to that peace. I read an interesting story about Memorial Day. Right after the Civil War, some women wanted to remember and show honor to the graves of those who died in the Civil War. And it was in the D.C. area. So what they did is they went to the Army and asked permission to put flowers on the graves. Of course, the Army initially thought that wasn't too orderly. So the women had to really dig in and get their way. It's the side note. When women dig in to get their way, they tend to. And so the Army approved the putting of flowers on the graves, but with a strict provision. And the strict provision was there were no flowers to be put on any Confederate's grave. The women wanted to put them on all the graves as a sign that they had peace. But they agreed, and they strictly observed, and they placed cut flowers all through the cemetery on every Union soldier's grave. And the praying colonel, then General Garfield, who later would become president, he spoke after the Garfield experience in Presbyterian Church. But Garfield spoke, people felt really good, and as they started to leave, a sudden, a great wind hit the cemetery, and suddenly, almost all the Confederate graves were covered with flowers. That must have scared the people in charge, because the next year they let the graves, all of the graves, be covered by flowers from then on. The wind of God in His mercy, the wind of God that reaches out and wants all to come, but the love of God that wants all of you to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the love of Christ, it doesn't let go. And He sacrifices His life willingly, knowingly. And even as we thank God for those who have done it on a different level, we remember God who did it on an eternal level. By the way, one more interesting thing, and I close with this. Remember how I told you they put stones on the graves in Israel, and they do it in also certain Jewish cemeteries and other places? There's different arguments for why they do it. And if I gave you five reasons, and you asked which one, I'd probably say yes. But one of the reasons that they did it, and it's so after the heart of our God, and so after the heart of people who care for others, was that shepherds would be guarding the sheep and tending the sheep. And the shepherds didn't have the same number of sheep every day. A shepherd would take care of the sheep of the village. And sometimes some of the sheep would be kept in the home or in the area, and others all would go out. So they never knew how many sheep they were going out with. So they would do a count. But this will surprise you. Occasionally the shepherd would forget how many sheep he had. So you know what the shepherds did? They had this little pouch, leather pouch, that they fastened to themselves. And they would take a pebble for each of the sheep. And when they returned, or about to return, they'd make sure they had a sheep for every pebble or stone. There were stones of remembrance. As we remember those who sacrificed much, we also remember our Lord who sacrificed even more, so that as they trusted in Him and as you trust in Him, whether good, minimalist, righteous, caring beyond yourself, or just flat out a sinner that would have had no worth, all were worthy to God, and all were welcome to His love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for being by our side. We thank You for being by the side of those who have seen and experienced difficult things, especially the horrors of war. Of being by the side of those who would shortly be with You. And if they trusted in You, we thank You that they are with You and that You are with us and You continually to offer us Your love if we simply would allow You to embrace us. In Jesus' name.